worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Then looking further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. All of Psalm 112. Thank you, Father, once again for the wonderful and the powerful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to read and meditate on your word daily and to delight in your word, to draw on the grace, the joy, the peace, the power that flows into our hearts and our minds and our lives as we spend time one-on-one with you reading and meditating on your word. Help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that when we delight in your word, we're delighting in you. And what a privilege it is to know that we can spend all the time we choose to in your word. And thank you for the fact that you'll spend as much time with us as we'll spend with you in your word. Thank you for the gift of it more and more. Help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds and our lives daily with your powerful, wonderful, and blessed word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Mark Ose. Mark is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Lord God, once again, I agree with Pastor Joseph. What was crossing my mind as I thought about prayer on the program was thank you for your word, your incredible word of which provides truth and encouragement for and direction and guidance and so much more for everyone who reads it. And Lord God, I pray that my family, my co-workers, and everyone who is listening here today would be able to get a hold of your word and be blessed by it today and each day. Lord God, I want to lift up Isaac, the regular producer, and pray that he gets well. He's been out for a week for NRB and now for health issues, and I pray that he'd be back tomorrow just for his sake, that he would be well. And God, I just ask your blessing again on our broadcast, on our recording effort here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to take time now specifically to share one, possibly a couple articles here that we often do. Remember these discipleship articles. Our goal in sharing them is that you'll use them as discipleship tools in your own life, but also tools that you'll use in the discipling of your family as well. And we're encouraging you, please forward them to fellow church members or family members or saved or unsaved individuals, any and all the Lord puts it on your heart. And remember, it's easy to do discipleship by way of email as you simply forward things like this. So we hope that you will get involved in that great way. And also the title of this first article is The Bible, Not a Souvenir. The big family Bible on the coffee table or the one on the shelf in the living room is a beautiful sight for many reasons. However, what is its purpose? It's been said that a raggedy Bible is a sign of a life that is not raggedy. Is this true? Well, not always, but often it is. Wear and tear comes with use. Non-use may help you keep a Bible in good condition for a long time, but keeping it in good condition and failing to read, meditate, and listen to God through His Word is a tragic mistake. The Bible was never meant to be simply a souvenir. It was never intended to be a prize to be encased and admired only for its physical appearance as a book. We're supposed to put the Bible, God's written word, to good use. We should read and meditate on it every day. Years ago, while working in a public school setting, I was conversing with an elementary student, and we were talking about reading the Bible. I asked him, "Do you read the Bible every day?" He responded, "My mama won't let me touch that Bible." The conversation took place many, many years ago, yet it remains with me. The life-giving word of God that is not supposed to be touched by a child? How sad. How tragically sad. Parents, buy each one of your children their own Bible and teach and encourage them to read it every single day. A good goal to aim for is to invite them to read at least 3 chapters in their Bible each and every day. Having each child read 3 chapters a day out loud to you is a very wise and blessed habit to have in your home. Typically, that's not too hard for any person, adult or child, that can read. Reading the Word of God daily is one of the most fruitful habits in all of life. If your children wear them out because they read and use them so much, wonderful. When those wear out, get them new ones. This may be one of the most fruitful investments of your life and in your children's lives. So if it's a souvenir, make sure everyone, every child and every adult, has their own personal Bible. Don't have a Bible that is off limits and it's the only one in the house. Some people store important documents in the big family Bible, but that's not what the Bible is made for. My suggestion is get a file cabinet or a brief of some sort to put your files in. Using it to keep track of old records can potentially send the wrong message to your children about what a Bible is for. Where is a good place to begin faithful reading of God's Word? That's a good question. I'd advise that you begin in the Gospel of Matthew and read straight through the New Testament. Make sure you read the Word of God on a daily basis. Here are 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word every single day. Number 1, it tells you how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. Number 2, it gives you clear guidance for all of life. Number 3, it empowers your prayers. Number 4, it sharpens your ability to hear the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. Number 5, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. 6, reading the Word daily helps you maintain your mental health. Number 7, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. Number 8, it increases your wisdom in every area of life. Number 9, it enhances your intellect and personality. And then 10, it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. Today is a good day to meet the one who is the author of the Word of God and has the power to all of life's questions and issues. Today is a good day to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. And then once you do that, reading His Word daily is a way to stay in touch with Him. Again, the title of that article, The Bible, Not a Souvenir. And then the second article we want to share is entitled, Children Who Read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, 1 Timothy 4:13. Then Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Many parents have never encouraged their children to read the Word of God out loud to them. It's simply not been a priority for many a parent. Christian parents often take their children to Sunday school and church, and that's a great thing. But sadly, having their children read the Word of God out loud to them every day in their home, along with church attendance, has just not been as important to as many parents as it should be. Allow me to make a case for why it would be wise to change this reality. Consider this important question and the answers to it. What happens when a child reads the Word of God? What takes place in the life of a young person who is faithfully taking time to read God's Word every single day? That child is spending time with Jesus. He or she is spending time interacting with Jesus as they take time to read his word. The child is spending time listening to the wisdom, grace, power, and insight of the creator of the universe. See John 1:1, John 6:63, and Romans 12:1 and 2. What more productive activity could your child possibly be doing? That young person is receiving the most powerful, life-changing and uplifting insight in all of the universe. The transforming power of the Word of God is working on the mind and heart of this young person as they read the Word. The Word of God is impacting this youth in many fruitful ways. See Romans 12, 1 and 2 and Proverbs chapters 1 and 2. This young person is spending time in the presence of Christ and God. And when any person spends time in the presence of God, he or she will not be the same on the other side of that time. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and place of reading Scripture in the life of any believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. They also discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most days of the week, that is, 3 days, they engage it 3 days or less, their lives are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much, much more important than many grasp. So parents, if you begin the family habit of having your child read the Word of God out loud to you every day, great things can begin to happen in your child's heart. Why is it important for your child to read out loud to you, the parent? Because you know for sure that he or she has spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Sometimes a parent may tell a child, "Go read your Bible." Maybe that child will, and maybe he or she won't. We can pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. And the title of that particular article, Children Who Read the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Place and see.
From Mercy Me with Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were reading from an article entitled Children Who Read the Word of God, picking up to close to where we left off here. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and place of reading Scripture in the life of a believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. Also, they discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most days of the week, that is, 3 days or less, are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much more important than so many really grasp. So parents, if you begin that daily habit, the family habit of having your child read the Word of God out loud to you daily, great things can begin to happen in your child's life. Why is it important for your child to read out loud to you, the parent? Because you know for sure that he or she has spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Sometimes a parent may tell a child, go read your Bible. Maybe the child will. Maybe he or she doesn't. Our children are human beings, and as much as we like to think our children will do exactly what we tell them to do, that's not always the case. When you make time each day to have them read the Word of God out loud to you, you can know this for a fact. You know that they spent time reading the Word of God on that day. Children and youth today are filling their minds with something. Sadly, too often, for too many children and youth, they fill their minds and hearts with darkness, toxic information, and wicked worldly thinking and perspectives. Too many youths have filled their minds with pornography, online garbage, demonic insights from dark movies and TV shows, horror movies, etc. Too many youths spend hours playing dark video games and doing things online and on their cell phones that are very negative spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. Too many are addicted to their cell phones and other media. The blessed Word of God is pure light. There's absolutely nothing better for our children, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, than the wonderful and powerful Word of God. We're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Word of God heals all the ills of life. The Word of God is pregnant with the ability to bless us. The transforming power of God's Word is undeniable. Its power It is powerful, and it's very mighty in every way for good in our lives. Beginning the habit of having your child read God's Word out loud daily is very productive. It's a great way to help focus the power of God's Word onto and into the lives of our children. Today is a great day to start this family discipleship goal with your children. It will help produce eternal fruit in their lives. Again, the title of that article, Children Who Read the Word of God. If you'd like to get a copy of this or the first article that we shared, again, both titles, the first title, The Bible, Not a Souvenir, and the second article entitled, Children Who Read the Word of God, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." Excuse me, reading verse 10 again. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall, at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened, when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their part, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, "Let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day." So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Nehemiah chapter 5. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, "We, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain, that we may eat and live." There were also some who said, "We have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine." There were also those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, "Each of you are exacting usury from his brother." So I called a great assembly against them. And I said to them, "According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who are sold to the nations. Now, indeed, will you even sell your brethren? Or should they be sold to us?" Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, "What you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am leading them, I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, also a hundredth of the money and the grain and the new wine and the oil that you have charged them." So they said, "We will restore it and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say." Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garments and said, "So may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied." And all the assembly said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. And at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days. Verses 1 to 17, Nehemiah chapter 5. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
Like you, you are great and powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God. You are great. You're a great God. You are great.
You are strong and mighty.
Yeah, yeah. The beginning and the end.
You're the peace of mind within.
You're a
great God.
Yes, you are.
You're a great God.
Yeah, yeah.
You are great.
His name is Jesus. He's a reason why I sing. His name is Jesus.
Music of Jennifer Meikle with Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to them, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Matthew chapter 16. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Verses 1 through 20, Matthew chapter 16. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege, the opportunity to read and meditate on your word daily. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to be hearers and doers of your word. More and more help us to grow in our understanding of the great need, Father, for us to be a people that are continually listening to your word and seeking to live your word. And help us to be diligent in teaching and training our children to read your word on a daily basis. And help us to be diligent in teaching them, too, to be hearers and doers. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. I want to remind you once again, if you'd like to get copies of the articles that we share, we're glad to share those with you. Again, the titles of those, the 2 articles that we shared earlier, Children Who Read the Word of God is one title, and the second title, The Bible, Not a Souvenir. If you'd like copies of them, simply email us. Again, that email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We hope that you will do that. And just a reminder also to parents, I want to encourage you to really be diligent with the habit of having your children to read the Word of God out loud to you on a daily basis. With every passing day, my understanding of why that's important, I guess, is really kind of growing. We live in a world where children are filling their minds with something. So many times they're pouring things from the internet or from their cell phones, toxic, poisonous things, as we pointed out in the article we shared earlier. Yet parents, if we're wise enough to make it a high priority to have them reading 3 chapters aloud to us, parents, we sometimes may not fully realize how valuable that is for our children. There's nothing our children need more than the powerful, wonderful Word of God. And so when they're reading the Word of God, possibly more than once a day, but taking the time to read the Word of God and pour it into their hearts, their minds. Again, the Word of God ministers to your child's mind, heart, soul, and entire being, and it pours light into every part of them that will bless them and minister to them. Hope that you'll make that a priority in your home. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, this day today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved and to fully commit your heart to the Lord. If you'd like to make that step, would you pray this prayer with us from your heart right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live your word out daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. Let me remind you again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We definitely want to share with you some resource materials that will help you to grow and grow strong in your new walk and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope to hear from you. Once again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Please do get in touch. Again, joseph@afr.net. Again, the two articles, again, if you'd like to get a copy of either one or both. Again, the first article entitled, The Bible, Not a Souvenir. And the second article, Children Who Read the Word of God. Same email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.